This is a News Laundry podcast, and you're listening to Reporters Without Orders.
Order, order. Hello and welcome to Reporters Without Orders, a podcast where we talk about what made news, what didn't, and some things that absolutely shouldn't have. I'm your host, Snigdha, and joining me today are three News Laundry reporters, Hamida,
hi,
Ayush, and Vasant. Hello, you all.
Hi.
Ayush, long time no see, on Reporters.
Yeah, it's been a while. I feel like I've taken like a mid-season break or something.
I know. Well, we missed you a little bit. All right. Before we begin the podcast, I want to tell all the new listeners about News Laundry. We are 100% ad-free news platform, and we need your support to stay afloat. So please subscribe to us and pay to keep news free. Go to newslaundry.com and hit the subscribe button on the top right corner of the website.
And listeners, if you're listening to this podcast on platforms like Stitcher, Spotify, remember we have a website, www.newslaundry.com, where you can go and check out the other cool stuff that we do, reports, interviews, podcasts. So do check that out.
Great. So shall we begin with some bizarre news stories?
Yes.
Who wants to go first?
Main jaun.
Zarur.
Vijar news to nahi hai. लेकिन एक तस्वीर कल आई सामने जो काफी बेजार रही. आप सबको सबको ध्यान आ ही गया होगा दीपक चौरसिया की जो तस्वीर आई है सामने. मतलब उनके पड़ोसी भी उनसे इतना प्यार करते हैं कि बेचारे की तस्वीर खींच के
प्लीज हमारे लिसनर्स को बता दीजिए कि क्या तस्वीर थी बसंत.
अरे दरअसल वर्क फ्रॉम होम की कई वीडियोज आ चुके हैं जब आदमी घर पे पीछे से बच्चा चलाता है कुछ कुछ होने लगता है. तो ऐसे ही वो अपने घर से शायद शो कर रहे थे और हाफ पैंट पहने हुए चप्पल पहने हुए ऊपर शर्ट पहने हुए हैं और
से फोटो ले ली. बॉक्सर्स यार. अच्छा पहन के कर रहा था लाइव. ओके से इट एज इट इज.
तो वो तस्वीर काफी हैरान करने हैरान क्या मजेदार तस्वीर है. आदमी को ध्यान रखना चाहिए कि वर्क फ्रॉम होम कर रहे हैं तो कम से कम पड़ोसी अगर पड़ोसियों से आपके अच्छे रिश्ते नहीं है तो ऐसे दुर्घटनाएं हो सकती है.
वेल who go on to go next?
I'll go.
Okay.
So there was a news from Vadodara in Gujarat.
Huh.
That a woman and her husband, they were playing Ludo on their phones. And you know, we've been doing that also. Me and my mom, we play. It's like become a thing again, Ludo.
Hmm.
And so the wife lost the husband, and okay. He got so pissed because of that he broke her spine. And it was a crazy story. And the Times of India report that, you know, that actually reported is so interestingly written. I'll just read out from it.
Yeah, sure.
It says, a sore loser, he, that is the husband,
yeah,
started arguing with his wife and the verbal duel turned ugly. He started beating her with such ferocity that the woman developed a gap between two of her vertebrae. His ego was hurt thinking that wife outsmarted him and was more intelligent, that she also contributed to the family income. This is a quote from the story. Some counselor.
Oh God,
goodness.
So strangely written, but yeah, it's the most bizarre thing I read this week.
Okay, so my bizarre news comes from Berlin, and I think it's like a week old report, but I found it to be really bizarre. So researchers have said that they were able to mimic the voice of a 3,000-year-old Egyptian mummy by recreating the vocal tract. Like using medical scanners, 3D printing, and then something called electronic larynx.
Wow.
And they said they were able to produce a single sound, which is between the vowels of bed and bad.
Whoa.
Oh.
Yeah.
Strange.
It's crazy.
It is really strange.
Mm. All right. So my bizarre news is from Punjab. And I don't know if you guys saw this. There's a video of these cops in Chandigarh going around looking for violators of the lockdown, right? And they have like these giant pair of tongs, like around 5 foot long. And you're not supposed to touch people and all that because of the virus. So they're using these giant tongs to catch people.
And अच्छा वो जो बस ट्रक में चढ़ा रहे हैं.
हाँ हाँ हाँ. And the DG of police in Punjab, he tweeted saying, great equipment, great drill. Okay, unique way of tackling non-cooperating corona suspects and curfew breakers. But a lot of people were like, oh my God, what about human dignity? and so on. So,
well, last time they tried doing that, they cut off a cop's hand. So talk about human.
Yeah, man, that was horrible. Yeah. But you know, now he's apparently he's recovering and his hand is slowly becoming functional again.
So, no, that's good.
Which is another really bizarre thing because it was actually like completely chopped off, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hats off to those doctors, man.
और एक कल एक काफी अच्छा हुआ कि जो पंजाब पुलिस के सबसे सीनियर अधिकारी शायद डीजी हैं या डीआईजी हैं
जी
तमाम पुलिस अधिकारियों ने जो बैच होता है वो उसी अधिकारी का लगाया जिसका हाथ कटा हुआ था तो एक तरीके से ये थैंक्स कहना था उनको कि किस तरीके से वो अपनी ड्यूटी निभाते हुए तो ये भी अच्छा था कि एक अधिकारी पुलिस कॉन्स्टेबल के साथ ऐसा होता है तो तमाम बड़े अधिकारी उसके नाम का बैच लगाते हैं तो एक अच्छा संदेश था
Yeah, and I saw a picture of him, like recent picture of that cop. He was smiling, like he looked in, like, you know, he's in a good mood. I would be so pissed, man. Imagine if somebody cut off your hand, like how pissed.
Yeah, I'd be pissed too. You're right. Oh, strange. Relate to you.
Yeah, man. I wouldn't want to go back to working in police again after that, I think. Anyway.
But like, don't you think it's weird that once we... Like after the whole lockdown ends, there's a phased lockdown and we all meet. We won't be able to like hug each other or stand within a meter's distance. Like I find that so weird.
I mean, this year
our life is not going to be normal for sure.
Yeah.
And I also feel like, you know, even if the lockdown ends and even if the virus suddenly disappears magically or something, what's the point of all of this happening if we don't learn from it and if we just go back to our normal lives of decadence and excess in, you know, of everything? That's like, I don't know.
Life to normal nahi hone wali
hai. No, you sound like a cleric.
I sound like a?
Cleric, a religious cleric, you know, decadence and excess, yeah.
No, but don't you think it's true? Like, we live a life of excess.
Yeah, मैं भी स्निग्धा जी से सहमत हूँ
हाँ exactly
क्योंकि लाइफ नॉर्मल नहीं होने वाली है मतलब कम से कम 2020 तक तो लाइफ मतलब उस तरीके से नहीं होगी आप दोस्त यारों के साथ बैठ के बात कर लें अगर पार्टी कर सकते हैं वो तो होगा ही नहीं लोग एक दूरी तो बनी रहेगी और ये लंबे समय तक सबसे ज्यादा इसमें लोग मेंटली परेशान होंगे
सच में
ऑलराइट लेट्स बिगिन विद हमीदा यू filed a report yesterday on the Andaman journalist who was arrested over a tweet and it was so bizarre. Please, can you please tell us about what really happened?
Yeah, basically the Andaman journalist who is Zubair Ahmed, he had posted a tweet in which he was asking the Andaman authorities as to why four family members had been quarantined after they had after one of them had called a relative of theirs who had been corona positive
which is the most bizarre thing I've ever heard
exactly and then he got a call from the Aberdeen police station which is in Port Blair which is 40 kilometers away from his house and they were like why did you ask the question in a public domain you could have asked us separately to which he said that there was no such provision in which they could be able to talk to the authorities separately and that Twitter was a medium where it was normal for them to contact authorities and ask. Then after he got a call from the police station and he was like they told him to come over and he was like I'm in a red zone I can't come over and they were like okay cool and then at 7:30 in the evening, after he had broken his fast, a police station which was near his house, from there cops came and cops were like, you've been called by the district superintendent. He wants to have a chat with you. Yeah. And then he was like, okay, I'll go meet the district superintendent. I'll come back. And they were like, nahi, aap achche se khana khaye aur namaz padhe, then you come with us. So that struck his wife as like, it was very fishy the way they said it. And even Zubair at that time realized, okay, maybe something is up. So, and he knew that the district superintendent would not meet him at the nearby police station. He would obviously meet him in the police station, which was in Port Blair. And to reach Port Blair, you would have to either take a ferry or you would have to take a long route around the road. And since there was this was an emergency situation, the police arranged a ferry. And when they arranged a ferry, that's when Zubair called up his editor-in-chief, Dennis Gilles of Andaman Chronicle. And he told him the whole situation, that I'm being picked up by the police and I'm going to the Port Blair police station. And they were like, and then Dennis Gilles was like, okay. And then Dennis Gilles, while speaking to me, had said ki, at that time he had smelled something fishy as well. And then there was some commotion and his phone was taken away. Zubair Ahmed's phone was taken away.
Right.
And switched off. And then after that, when Dennis Gilles tried to contact Zubair Ahmed, the phone kept forwarding. So then immediately Dennis Gilles flashed the news on Facebook and Twitter that, okay, the Andaman journalist has been arrested over this tweet. And then when he reached the police station, he was informed of the offenses under which he would be charged by. So it was Section 51 and 54 of the Disaster Management Act.
Which is?
I think the sections that prohibit, you know, if you obstruct any official instruction given during disaster management efforts.
Huh. Yeah.
51 to 59 prohibit any such obstruction.
Yeah, so this is 51 and 54, which is punishment for obstruction, Ayush is right, and for false warning. And then apart from that, he was also booked under sections 188, 269, 270, 505, 1 clause B, which are negligent act of likely to spread infection of disease dangerous to life, so some form of negligent action which will likely help in spreading of the disease, in this case coronavirus.
Right.
And circulating any statement or rumor or report with intent to cause fear or alarm.
So tell me, Hamida, is this that report was verified, right? The one about those family members being quarantined after speaking to a COVID patient.
It was verified. But the problem with at which point came was that the authorities had a problem with him asking questions. And especially when he had posted that question as a tweet. So right. Zubair had said that the authorities were new to Twitter and they didn't really like how like journalists were asking questions over there. And he'd said that he and Dennis Gilles both had been blocked by the chief secretary because they were asking so many questions. And then he was talking about how that there's only one source of coronavirus information in the island, which is the chief secretary.
Huh.
And that too, if you want to know something about the updates regarding coronavirus, you have to wait for his tweet. Yeah, so that was like really bizarre. And then, so what happened that when he reached the police station and he was booked under these offenses, so I spoke to a lawyer who said that 505 1 clause B is non-bailable and it is punishment by imprisonment of up to 3 years. And when I was speaking to the lawyer said that this was really bizarre because he was like, it's just a tweet. And it's not even a tweet that's inciting any false claim, or it's a tweet that's genuinely asking as to what is the logic behind quarantining 4 family members because one of them called. Yeah.
Did you manage to speak to the police? What did they, like, what was their version?
So, I spoke to the DGP, Director General Police, Deependra Pathak. And he said that apparently this self-styled journalist, quote-unquote, had been spreading false information. And in that, he spoke about the tweet. So he gave a very official statement and he was like, ki, apart from 4 other people who have been spreading false rumors about coronavirus, this is also one such journalist.
So is he denying that those people, that family was quarantined?
He didn't reply to that at all. When I asked him, he was just that, ki, oh, this is what happened to Zubair Ahmed. And interestingly, when Zubair Ahmed tried to ask the police as to, okay, you told me about the tweet and you told me that I shouldn't have put it in a public domain, at least you can respond to my question. They didn't respond at all.
Wow, that is bizarre. But obviously, I mean, this is not the first instance of journalists coming under attack. I mean, recently the cases are just growing. Kashmir, there's in Manipur, multiple cases. And that is all the more reason why you listeners need to subscribe to News Laundry and support independent media organizations like us. because we really need your help right now and we really need your support. So please go to newslaundry.com and subscribe.
Yeah, so that we can keep bringing such stuff to you.
Exactly. Now, moving on to Ayush.
Yeah.
Ayush, you have been following Mr. Goswami for the last couple of weeks very closely. How is that going?
Well, as I said, he's become my beat now. You know, I'm on the Arnab beat. It seems that the Mumbai police is also on the Arnab beat, though beat might have a different meaning. Just kidding. But I did two stories on him last week. The first one was, I think on April 20th, he on air resigned from the Editors Guild of India. And, you know, that was to furore. So that was one story. And just a day after, he said some very stupid things about the Congress president, Sonia Gandhi.
Yes.
So that caused an even bigger furore, you know, and that offended a lot of people in the Congress, though for the wrong reasons, it seems.
Right.
And there were FIRs on him, and that was my second story.
Right. So, can you tell us about how it all started?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So, the Palghar lynching happened on April 16, and it reached most of the mainstream media on April 19.
Yes.
I think on April 20th, the primetime show that Republic did, what Arnab wanted to do, you know, in his shouting matches was go after this lobby that was now silent on the Palghar lynching, and they weren't talking about the Hindu sadhus, he kept saying, the Hindu seers, the Hindu monks who were lynched.
Yeah.
And that was his claim, that these people are silent, that they're trying to hide its Hindu identity, even though this whole case, there's no communal angle as such. We've done a report by Prateek, which establishes the fact that these lynchings happened because there were WhatsApp rumors saying there are people going around abducting children. This happened in 2018, you know, in places like, I can't remember the...
many places where people were lynched because of these rumors of child abduction.
In Dhule, in Dhule in 2018, in June, there were 5 people killed. In another place, in Maharashtra only, near Mumbai, 2 other people were killed because of the same phenomena.
Right.
So it was that pattern that was at play again. But Arnab played this whole communal game and went after the liberals, the Khan Market Gang, the Tukde Tukde Gang, whatever. And near the end of his show, he said, why is the Editors Guild of India not, you know, talking about these things? Because it's a body of has-beens and Shekhar.
Who do you think he was making a dig at? Like, any person in particular?
I think he named Shekhar Gupta, so very much him.
Right.
The president of the Editors Guild of India. So he was taking a dig at him. And going on with that, he said, okay, I'm resigning. You know, I've been a member for so long. They are silent on the fake news and on the lynching. And so I'm resigning. And that was, that caused a sensation on Twitter. Even though there's no basis to the kind of demands he wanted on air. First of all, he wanted the Editors Guild of India to comment on the Palghar lynching. The Editors Guild strictly concerns itself with media.
Right.
So whatever lynching or riots happened, the Editors Guild never comments on that, you know.
Right.
So there's no reason to demand them to talk about a lynching. His second demand was the fact that they should put out a statement on the fake news. And he didn't refer to which piece of news. He said ki Arunachal mein there was a story of locals eating a snake and it appeared on a channel that no one watches, you know. That's how he put it.
He was talking about NDTV, no?
Yeah, he was talking about NDTV story, even though that's not fake because the Hindustan Times independently confirmed some of the aspects. Right. And the denial that came from the government, and the government is there to deny all the time. You know, the government is not a fact checker. So that was not fake news. So it was just a circus of falsehoods. And the story that I did, you know, I talked to some senior members of the Editors Guild.
Right.
He told me that this man Arnab joined the Editors Guild in 2009 when Rajdeep Sardesai was the president of the guild. And since 2009 to 2020, he has never attended a single meeting of the guild.
Wow.
He's never participated in any discussion. He's never even lent support to say any statement they put out, a signature. So he's a sleeping member, you know.
Right.
And To be honest, the Editors Guild concerns itself with media freedom, and you know, Republic reporters were attacked in Delhi, and they've been attacked all the elsewhere. He didn't speak up for them, you know, even those moments, or even when other journalists of other organizations were attacked, he never spoke up. So it's even on the level of values, he does not align with the guild.
Exactly.
So right. It was just that report is tried to establish the hollowness of all his bombast.
Right. And after that, what he did was, I guess, done in history, his tirade against Sonia Gandhi.
It was absolutely, how should I put it? It was so bad. It was so foul.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, we are journalists and politicians are supposed to be our natural adversaries.
Mm-hmm.
That it was still jarring to one's ears to hear someone on television sprout so much bullshit. He said he called Sonia Gandhi Antonia Meno. You know, that's apparently original Italian name.
Her maiden name, yeah.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, she must be so happy that these Hindu saints are dead. You know, deep inside, she must be calling Vatican, whatever. He must be calling Italy, telling them, look, I'm ruling this state, and that's where Hindus are killed. She must be so happy. And he was speaking such... He was just out of control.
Yeah, I think he just lost it. Right?
Yeah, he just lost it. So, that caused a lot of... the Congress workers were really pissed. So, it began as a social media storm. And in states like Chhattisgarh, which the Congress has been governing, not ruling, the social media cell, the block president, the Zilla Parishad of the Congress, the Indian Youth Congress, they coordinated this campaign against Goswami, and they filed I think, as far as I know, definitely 101 FIRs against him.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what is your, what do you think of that? I mean, a lot of people are of the view that, even though Arnab Goswami is very unjournalistic, let's put it that way. But still, this is an attack on the press.
Ayush, mera bhi yahi sawal tha ki main bhi jis din unse 12 ghante poochtaach ho rahi thi, to main soch raha tha ki Arnab Goswami ne bahut galat bola hai, jo radio, matlab kal tipadi mein ek show bhi hua jisme bataya gaya ki Radio Rwanda ki tarah inhone Hindu jagega, Hindu chup rahega, 80% sanatni hai. Lekin jis tarike se 12 ghante poochtaach hui hai, इसको उदाहरण मानते हुए किसी और जर्नलिस्ट पे कोई और सरकार इस्तेमाल नहीं कर सकती है क्या?
तो FIR के बारे में तो ये है कि see if he comes on television and he says something that is absolutely false, for instance, I mean false क्या? If you say that Sonia Gandhi मन ही मन में खुश है क्योंकि हिंदू मर रहे हैं, that's not even a false, true or false thing, it's just defamatory, you know?
Yeah.
So the party worker has the right to file an FIR, you know, he should go ahead. But yeah. I think filing 100 and plus FIRs means that you're trying to intimidate him as well. So that's their way to strong arm Goswami in their own way, which is actually rather distasteful. But look, end May, even after the Supreme Court hearing, the urgent plea that he sought, it all got combined in one. And ideally, that's what it should have been, you know. You file one FIR and then there's an investigation. Oh, and everyone's got so butthurt. And if you read these FIRs, it's in my story. Huh. You know, they put Section 34, which is Criminal Act with Common Intention. There is Section 290, causing public nuisance. There's 295A, you know, most draconian. Deliberate and malicious acts intended to outrage religious feelings. So, 100 plus FIRs going about pasting these sections on Goswami. That was definitely like an intimidation. And Congress, right. You know, Congress is a party that has done its own share of intimidating journalists over the decades. So it's not surprising. But also
Nado really, it was quite bizarre how fast he got that hearing at the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
I think within a day.
I think he
the virtual hearing itself was quite it was quite bizarre. I mean, if our listeners have not read that report, Ritika Jain, our reporter, has done a detailed report on that virtual hearing, and it was quite strange, right? Because the judges and the advocates, they were discussing TV shows and what to watch on Netflix and what's nice and what's not nice. So that was quite bizarre.
Yeah, it was amazing how quick he got a hearing in the Supreme Court. So the matters before the Supreme Court are way more, important. There's been so much. It's been the whole, the last 6-7 months been just lawsuits and lawsuits on since the whole 370 abrogation to now the migrant crisis. So it was amazing to watch that. But on the interrogation, I don't know. For 12 hours, if he's being interrogated, I don't know what they're asking him. If they're asking him, because on the channel, he comes and says he has all the evidence to show how Sonia Gandhi is involved into all this. Then they have every right to grill him and ask him, what's your evidence?
Yeah.
But until we know the nature of this interrogation, what's going on, it'll be too early to say. But 12 hours, it seems like, they are sort of poking him in the wrong places now.
I have a question. So, considering how controversial of a journalist Arnab Goswami is, do you think that interrogating him for 12 hours is something that other journalists who don't agree with his stand and the way he does his journalism should endorse? I mean, because when you go on Twitter and you see how different journalists have reacted to the 12-hour interrogation, you start to think that maybe there's a debate there, that, he is controversial and he has done a lot of stuff which many esteemed journalists don't endorse. But at the same time, a 12-hour interrogation, does it seem a bit too much to you, Ayush?
It depends on the nature. As I said, I don't know why we're questioning him for 12 hours. If you want to consider it, maybe they're asking him what's the evidence. And obviously, this guy has no evidence because he's never sent reporters on the ground. He's just trying to deflect things and not talk about the matter and, not answering questions. It's possible that that stretches out to 12 hours. I wouldn't put all these things beyond Goswami. I don't think he's just an actor on TV. He might be just doing it at the police station. Anyway, when he comes out also, he resumes all the drama again, with his lawyers and with his reporters there. But until we know, this is a journalist's job. People should report on this. What happens during his interrogation? If it's just to intimidate him and, try to not give him water, like in those, classical interrogation things, they'd never give you a glass of water, or they just turn off the AC. And if that's happening, then it's definitely wrong, because at the end of the day, the police is the law. It's comes under the state. And the journalist has to ask the questions to the state. So even Mr. Goswami shouldn't be discounted. But it depends when we get a report on what's happening.
Yeah, but I'm sure a lot of people are confused about, whether to look at Arnab Goswami, who is known for his bigotry and, his communal, daily show that he does on his channel. It's hard to see him as a victim.
That's true. Yeah. This debate happened when Abhijit Iyer Mitra,
was exactly, sent to exactly. Yeah.
And he's the most deplorable of human beings we have. But the point is that once you condone something like this, the only the name and the paperwork has to change, and it can be you. So you should be careful.
Exactly.
It's a healthy debate, the one that
I'd like our listeners to write to us about this. What are their views? And maybe next episode we can read out some letters.
Maybe we should do an NL versus NL debate on it.
Interesting.
That too. Yeah. That could be fun. Yeah, please write to us at contact@newslaundry.com with Reporters Without Orders in the subject line. We'd love to hear from you about this. And coming to Basant. Basant has been consistently following the plight of migrant workers, and he's done multiple reports on them. And the recent one that he's done for News Laundry Hindi is particularly heart-wrenching. It's called Un Logo Ki Kahani Jo Ghar Ke Liye Paidal Nikle Lekin Pahunch Nahi Paaye. Basant, I understand, doing these stories, the migrant worker crisis, and before that, the Delhi violence, even Ayush, both of you did it together. it's been taking a toll on your mental health. And I would really like you to talk about it, Basant, because this is a show about reporters.
आयुष का तो मुझसे ज्यादा होगा क्योंकि आयुष कश्मीर भी गए थे, मुजफ्फरपुर भी गए थे जब बिहार में चमकी बुखार।
I would also like आयुष to pitch in actually।
हाँ, but ये अभी मतलब देखिए नॉर्मल डे दिसंबर से जब हम बातचीत शुरू कर रहे थे तो हम कह रहे थे कि 2020 एक बद्दुआ की तरह है, ऐसा लग रहा है। नवंबर दिसंबर लास्ट से जब सीएए प्रोटेस्ट शुरू हुआ और पश्चिमी यूपी में काफी लोग मारे गए, फिर उसके बाद आइए तो 5 जनवरी को जेएनयू में अटैक हो गया, उसके बाद जामिया प्रोटेस्ट, शाहीनबाग प्रोटेस्ट, शाहीनबाग में गोली चलना, जामिया में गोली चलना, उसके जस्ट बाद मार्च आते आते दिल्ली दंगा, दिल्ली दंगा के बाद कोरोना। तो ये कभी वक्त ही नहीं मिला कि एक आदमी थोड़ा सा मस्ती के मूड में बातचीत कर सके, थोड़ा फ्री फील कर सके। और कोरोना के समय में ऐसा हुआ है कि थोड़ा बहुत अगर हम ऑफिस में होते हैं तो आपसे या दोस्त यार से बात करके थोड़ा बहुत हंस लेते हैं, कोरोना के समय में आप अपने फैमिली के साथ रह रहे हैं। अब मेरे साथ ये दिक्कत है कि मेरे फादर दिल्ली में रहते थे, मैं गाँव में रहता था, और वो फादर आते थे गाँव में छठ पूजा में, और छठ पूजा में मैं होता था अपने मामा के घर पे। तो फादर से और मेरा मतलब 17 साल तक, जब तक मैं 12वीं करके दिल्ली आया तब तक कोई बातचीत ही नहीं थी, मतलब उस तरीके से अपना बात अपनी बात कहना। फादर मतलब पापा भी कभी कुछ पूछते नहीं थे पढ़ाई लिखाई, हम भी बताते नहीं थे, एक दूरी थी। वो बन जाती है जब आपके माँ साल में 10 दिन के लिए आपके पिता आ रहे हैं फोन पे, तब फोन भी उतना ज्यादा तो था नहीं, 2 रुपये मिनट लगता था। अब उसी पिता के साथ आपको बैठना है और उन 24 घंटे, तो और इस सब मजदूरों का जाना, तीन चार चार दिन भूखे रहना, तो वो इतना डिप्रेस कर रहा है। हम मुझे लगता है कि हम में से सब लोग आज काफी परेशान होंगे इरफान खान के डेथ के बाद। जैसे मैं सिस्टम लेके बैठा कि खबर लिखूंगा, तब तक मैं मोबाइल ऑन किया, ट्विटर पे देखा कि इरफान खान नहीं रहे, न जाने क्यों रोना आ गया। तो इरफान खान से कभी मुलाकात नहीं है, फिल्में देखे, लेकिन एक तरीके से इमोशनली आदमी इतना ज्यादा वो टूट चुका है ना कि चीजें परेशान कर रही है। मुझे लगता है कि आयुष के साथ भी यही होगा, या हो सकता है आयुष थोड़े इमोशनली मजबूत हो, तो आयुष बताएं इस पे।
Yeah.
I mean, what do I say? After the Lal Kua thing, मतलब जब Lal Kua में the migrant workers had assembled, and they, when they were, you know, going home.
Yeah.
I had decided then, this was the end of March, that I won't be doing ground reports from here on. Part of the reason was that the fact that, you know, my dad has some blood pressure problems. So if in any case I got this, you know, virus,
yeah,
I might transfer it to him, and he's in that age group that has been most affected.
Right.
So it was just about, you know, I was for family. And the other half was the fact that I'd started reading my article, and I just thought that the feeling I get before I sit down to write something was now just being repetitive, because I was just thinking in a very dark way, and the words that were coming out were becoming, you know, very sad, and the theme had, you know, almost become the same, because it was just about writing terrible things since months now.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, I thought I'd rather cover the media from home, and there's, you know, got a lot of good work we can do from home as well that I've realized lately. So that's been a change, but yeah, your tone as a journalist, I mean, to mental health can be, it can depend from person to person. And, you know, I think I just have an advantage in terms of the fact that I'm rather young. So I can, you know, there's a sort of probably I'm naive in a way, and there's, you know, a sort of tendency to ignore things and get over them very easily. I don't know how older journalists feel about that. But the other fact is that professionally also, you know, your tone becomes grim. And then after all, at the end of the day, the reader is supposed to be, you know, the person you're writing for. And the reader, you know, a lot of my friends told me that they read my articles, they read everything, but they said that, you know, we just feel sad after reading what you write. And that made me think. So that has been one effect of all this terrible, you know, this whole flood of this bad news that's been coming in since days now. But I found a way out of it in a way, and I hope Basant also does. You know, he should stay at home for one thing.
Yeah, I hope so. Hamida,
yeah,
do you have anything to add? I believe before this you were working in Kashmir, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So can you share any experiences?
So I think one of the most jarring things about working right now as a journalist is the fact that I'm visibly Muslim.
Mm.
So I get a lot of hate on Twitter and in general about the kind of work that I do.
Right.
When I was in Kashmir, I wasn't doing on-ground reports as of such because of the safety issue.
Huh.
But whenever I would go and talk to a lot of experts regarding certain topics that I had in mind, and then I do feature reports,
right.
It would be very depressing. I remember that I was doing this 4-month long feature article on Ayatollah Khomeini and his impact on Kashmir, since the largest minority in Kashmir is Shias.
Right.
So when I went and I used to speak to people who had seen him, who had worked with him,
yeah,
they used to speak in a form of nostalgia. And they used to talk about how those times were great because those were revolutionary times. Those were times when people were given a voice, especially the minorities.
Right.
And it made me realize how working in this profession demands you to be able to listen to the person who's talking about their grief and also look at it objectively. Not
right.
Dripping yourself completely in whatever that you're seeing. That has been a huge struggle for me.
Right.
And the more that I've worked with News Laundry, the more I've realized that my existence itself is something which is very difficult for people to discern and accept right now. And the best I can do is prove myself through reports and also take care of myself. So,
absolutely.
So like when the lockdown started, I started taking a step back and looking at everything that happened around me, how my friends had been targeted in the Jamia violence, how when I went to Mustafabad and I spoke to a lot of people, they were looking up to me because they were like, oh, you know, she's Muslim, she's a reporter, she gets it.
Yeah.
So it's difficult, very difficult.
Can I just add one more thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
One reason for us to also just probably not an incentive to not be affected by all of this is that if you look at the Indian media, you know, most of it is pro-establishment. It's gone over to the other side and it's entirely useless.
Yeah.
The bit that is remaining that is, you know, actually doing its job, you look at a lot of people in that bit are also the way they are persecuted. For example, Kashmiri journalists,
journalists
who happen to be Muslim, or, you know, this guy from Andaman who's been, they've been going after. So if you look at these people and then you look at the other side and you look at yourself, then you realize that you are in a unique position to do, to go against the government, to report on them, to hold them accountable. And at the same time, because, you know, I happen to be a caste Hindu, so I don't make as many enemies when I'm going around, you know, in say in hostile areas or with the police, which is a very communal institution.
Right.
So I'm in the unique position to do this work and also get away with a lot of things that other people can't. So, I mean, that also is, you know, just keeps me going. Probably Basant, I think me and Basant have talked about this. I think he also feels the same.
Yeah. Yeah, Basant, I would like to ask you, what keeps you going? मतलब आप क्या है ऐसा जो आपको मतलब रुकने मतलब नहीं रोक रहा है अपना काम आगे बढ़ाने से
एक
इन स्पाइट ऑफ ऑल दिस
हम आसपास देखें ना तो ग्राउंड रिपोर्टर्स ग्राउंड रिपोर्टिंग का मौका बहुत कम लोगों को मिलता है हम अपने आसपास देखें लोगों को अच्छी खासी सैलरी जरूर मिल रही है लेकिन रिपोर्टिंग का नहीं मिलता और जब वो लोग कभी वाइन वाइन सराबरा पीते हैं तो कहते हैं कि यार ग्राउंड रिपोर्टिंग करना चाहता हूँ तो ग्राउंड रिपोर्टिंग का ना जब ये थोड़ा मेरे लिए वो है कि जब मैं पढ़ रहा था कॉलेज टाइम में तो तहलका के हम लोग फैन हुआ करते थे राहुल कोटियाल जो राहुल भैया और प्रियंका दुबे जो अभी बीबीसी में अतुल सर एडिटर हुआ करते थे तो उसकी जो रिपोर्ट हम पढ़ते थे ना हम तभी से एक मन में आ गया कि खबरें तो ऐसे ही लिखनी है डेस्क पे तो काम नहीं करना है वो जुनून है और लॉकडाउन हम मुझे जैसे आयुष ने कहा पापा तो मैं अपनी बहन और फादर के पापा के साथ रहता हूँ तो मुझे अपने को लेकर चिंता तो है कि मैं भी परेशान हो सकता हूँ अगर बीमार होता हूँ लेकिन मुझे भी सबसे ज्यादा चिंता अपने फादर और बड़ी बहन छोटी बहन है मुझसे उसकी है क्योंकि ये लोग काफी दुबले पतले हैं मेरा पे तो हो सकता है कि मैं उस अटैक को, वायरस का अटैक को बर्दाश्त कर सकूं, ये लोग शायद ना करें। तो ये डर है। और एक चीज है कि मुझे कहानी कहनी है अपने समय की। मेरे समय में जो हो रहा है एक बतौर जर्नलिस्ट वो मुझे देखना भी है, अगर जिंदा रहे, अगर तमाम परेशानियों से बच गए तो अपने आने वाले पीढ़ी को कहानी भी बतानी है कि कैसे 2020 एक साल था, भयानक साल था, लोग पैदल जा रहे थे, भूखे थे, मतलब वो कहानी मुझे अपने आने वाले पीढ़ी के लिए सुरक्षित करनी है। हो सकता है कि मैं अपने खबरों के जरिए कर रहा हूँ, खबरें नहीं होंगी, इंटरनेट का है कब क्या हो कब बंद हो जाए, लेकिन अगर मैं अपने आंखों से देख चुका हूँ, मैंने उसको अपने से भोगा है, तो मैं अपनी आने वाली पीढ़ी को जरूर बताऊंगा जो भी होगा कि देखो हमारे समय में ऐसा हुआ था, एक दौर था, हमने नोटबंदी देखी थी जब लोग सड़कों पे लाइन लगा लगा के उसमें कई लोगों की मौत हो गई थी, हमने कोरोना वायरस का कहर देखा था जब लोग पैदल घरों की तरफ भाग रहे थे और मर जा रहे थे रास्ते में। एक जर्नलिस्ट अपने समय को देखता है तो वही देखने का जुनून है कि मुझे उसको अपने आने वाली पीढ़ी के लिए सुरक्षित करना है जैसे मैं कर सकूं।
राइट, आई थिंक दैट गोज फॉर ऑल ऑफ यू। आई मीन एज रिपोर्टर्स यू आर बेसिकली क्रॉनिकलर्स ऑफ दिस टाइम। So, and yeah. I think that is the most important thing. Anyway, moving on, Basant, apne aapki latest story maine kal hi padha, aur I don't know, I mean it's hard, I mean to read it also, you know, breaks your heart to read it. Please tell us more about it.
Darasal hum sab dekh rahe hain ki jab se lockdown hua, pehla wala lockdown jab 24 March ko Modi ji ne aage kaha ki aaj se sab kuch band ho raha hai, uske baad ek pura logon ka जमावड़ा, मजदूरों का, दिहाड़ी मजदूरों का, ये सब बिहार यूपी अलग अलग जगह पे, तो पेट के लिए, भूख के लिए, खाने के लिए, अपने परिजनों के लिए ये लोग छोटे शहरों से बड़े शहर आए थे, और उसी पेट के लिए, उसी जीवन को सुरक्षित करने के लिए वो शहर से गांव भाग रहे थे। मतलब ये कहते हैं ना कि मजदूरों की जीवन एक परिधि के अंतर्गत, वो भूख ही है जिसके इर्द गिर्द उनके जीवन, उनका जीवन घूम रहा है, खाना ही है कि मतलब यहाँ भी शहर आए थे तो खाने के लिए आए थे, परिजनों के खाने के इंतजाम के लिए, यहाँ से जब भागे तब भी तो, लेकिन जो लोग घर के लिए भागे वो अपनी जिंदगी बचाने के लिए, क्या बहुत सारे लोग नहीं पहुंच पाए हैं। आंकड़े तो अभी नहीं है उपलब्ध, लेकिन कम से कम 30 तो कुछ दिन पहले ही आया था, इंडियन एक्सप्रेस के साथ रिपोर्ट थी। तो मैंने ऐसे ही 3 लोगों के परिजनों से बात की। स्निग्धा जी, जैसे हमने इससे पहले मेंटल हेल्थ की बात की, तो सबसे ज्यादा परेशानी ये होती है कि किसी को पूछना कि आपके बेटे के साथ क्या हुआ।
जी, जी।
उस बुजुर्ग आदमी के सामने खुद को रख के अगर कोई मुझसे पूछ ले कि तुम्हारे भाई के साथ क्या हुआ, तुम्हारे पापा के साथ क्या हुआ, तो वो परेशान करता है। तो ये रामचंद्र महतो हैं, बिहार के रहने वाले, बेगूसराय एक जिला है जहाँ के सांसद है गिरिराज सिंह, जो पिछले 2014 से तमाम लोगों को पाकिस्तान भेज रहे हैं जो मोदी सरकार की आलोचना कर रहे हैं। और तकलीफ की बात है कि अपने ही संसदीय क्षेत्र के एक आदमी को दिल्ली से बेगूसराय नहीं बुला पाए, और अभी तक उस परिवार को इन्होंने कोई आर्थिक मदद नहीं पहुंचाई है, ये भी एक हैरान करने वाली बात है। रामचंद्र महतो दिल्ली में ट्रक ड्राइवर का काम करते थे, और 25 मार्च को, 24 मार्च को जब लॉकडाउन मोदी जी ने घोषणा की, 25 को वो पैदल निकले बेगूसराय के लिए
जी।
और उन्होंने अपनी बहन को फोन करके बताया कि मेरे पास 300 रुपए है, मैं आ रहा हूँ। उनकी बहन ने कहा रुक जाओ वहीं, उन्होंने कहा नहीं, यहाँ पे हालात सही नहीं, मैं घर आऊंगा। उसके बाद उनकी 16 अप्रैल को, 25 मार्च से 16 अप्रैल के बीच वो बनारस तक पहुंचे थे, और बनारस में उनकी सुबह सुबह 6:30 बजे डेथ हो जाती है। मतलब डेथ होने के पहले वो गिर जाते हैं सड़क किनारे, तो एक स्थानीय थाने को फोन किया जाता है, तो थाने के सब इंस्पेक्टर आता है, वो एम्बुलेंस को फोन करता है। तो एम्बुलेंस के लोग कहते हैं कि ये इसका शरीर मतलब काफी कमजोर हो गए थे, और तो उन्होंने एम्बुलेंस वालों ने कहा कि हो सकता है इनको कोरोना हो इसलिए हम उठाएंगे नहीं, और इस वजह से उनको उठा के ले जाने में देर हुआ और उनकी डेथ हो गई। इत्तफाक देखिए कि जिस वजह से उनको नहीं उठाया गया उनमें कोरोना था भी नहीं, उनका कोरोना निगेटिव आया
जी।
तो इस तरीके से एक आदमी जो अपनी जिंदगी बचाने के लिए घर की तरफ भागा लेकिन घर नहीं पहुंच पाया, ऐसी कहानी छत्तीसगढ़ की है, बीजापुर की, शायद बहुत लोगों ने देखी पढ़ी भी होगी। 12 साल की लड़की है जमलो
जी।
हम सब जानते हैं कि बीजापुर नक्सल प्रभावित इलाका है, और जमलो का जो घर है वहाँ अभी भी इंटरनेट मोबाइल की सुविधा नहीं है, तो इसलिए मैं उनके परिजनों से बात नहीं कर पाया था। लेकिन मैंने कुछ पत्रकारों से बात की जो उस खबर को कवर किए थे
जी।
तो उन लोगों ने मुझे जो बताया कि ये 12 साल की जमलो है, वो अपने माँ बाप की इकलौती बेटी थी, और बीजापुर से लोग तेलंगाना गए थे, मिर्च तोड़ने का काम करते थे तेलंगाना में, 2 महीने पहले ये लोग गए थे। जब लॉकडाउन टू जब लगा तो ये लोग वहां से पैदल चल दिए, एक महीने तो रह, मतलब 21 दिन तो रह लिए थे वहीं पे। जब लॉकडाउन टू हुआ तो वहां से ये लोग पैदल चल दिए, और बीजापुर जंगल वाला इलाका है तो जंगल में एंट्री लेने के मतलब 100 किलोमीटर ये जंगल जंगल चले थे। और उसके बाद इस लड़की की डेथ हो गई, ये गिर गई, डिहाइड्रेशन बताया गया। लेकिन जब इसका पोस्टमार्टम रिपोर्ट आया तो मैं वहां के जिला अस्पताल के हेड से बात किया तो उन्होंने कहा कि पोस्टमार्टम रिपोर्ट से क्लियर नहीं हो पा रहा कि इनकी किस वजह से डेथ हुई है। हालांकि वो लड़की रास्ते में गिरी भी थी, उसके सीने पे चोट लगा था, पोस्टमार्टम में ही आया हुआ है। सिर्फ ये दो लोग नहीं है, बहुत सारे लोग हैं, हमने तीन से बात की। एक और है विलास महतो जो बिहार के वैशाली जिला के रहने वाले, वैशाली जिला, हाँ हालांकि एक चीज मैं जोड़ना चाह रहा था, बेगूसराय वाले में रामचंद्र महतो को कोई भी आर्थिक मदद अभी तक सरकार की तरफ से नहीं दिया गया है। उनके माँ बाप टीबी, उनके माँ बाप को शुगर के पेशेंट है। वहीं ये बीजापुर वाले मामले में लड़की की डेथ हुई, दुखद है, लेकिन उसके परिवार को वहां की सरकार ने 5 लाख रुपए दिया है तत्काल। ऐसे ही विलास महतो है जो इलाहाबाद में रह के काम करते थे, इनकी दो बेटी है और 3 बेटे हैं। ये बिहार के वैशाली जिला के रहने वाले थे, इलाहाबाद में काम करते थे। इनका केस और थोड़ा हैरान करने वाला है, आप पढ़ी होंगी कि ये इनकी पत्नी का आरोप है कि इनकी डेथ इलाहाबाद में ही हो गई थी, और जो ठेकेदार था वो लेके गया और कहा कि इनकी डेथ, ये पैदल आ रहे थे, इनकी डेथ हो गई यहाँ रोहतास जिले के अंदर। वहीं हालांकि मीडिया की रिपोर्ट है और पुलिस वालों का कहना है कि इनकी डेथ रोहतास जिले में, जैसे घर से बगल में किला पड़ता है वैशाली से बगल में रोहतास, वहां बॉर्डर पे हुई है। तो इनकी डेथ में तो अभी तक क्लियर ही नहीं हो पा रहा। मैं उसका जो ठेकेदार था उससे बात करने की कोशिश किया लेकिन बात नहीं हो पाई। इस ठेकेदार ने पंचायती हुई गांव में कि मौत हो गई है तो पैसे दो, तो सबके सामने कमिट किया कि 3 लाख रुपए दूंगा, लेकिन 1 रुपए नहीं दिया। तो इस तरीके से हम 3 लोगों की कहानी देख रहे हैं जो इस दौरान घर के लिए तो निकले लेकिन घर नहीं पहुंच पाए। और ये सब तमाम लोग काफी गरीब परिवार से हैं। ये बीजापुर वाले फोन पे बात नहीं कर सकते, वहाँ नेटवर्क नहीं है। रामचंद्र महतो के पिता से मैं बात कर रहा था तो उनकी काफी एज हो चुकी है, पति पत्नी दोनों बीमार हैं। विलास महतो की पत्नी से मेरी बात हुई तो उनकी 2 बेटियां भी हैं और 2 बेटे हैं जिनकी शादी करनी है और इकलौती है। और जो भी हमारे लिसनर जानते हैं नहीं जानते हैं उनको बता दें कि जो महतो भारतीय समाज की एक जाति है वो काफी पिछड़ी हुई जाति है। उनके पास अपनी जमीन नहीं होती है, वो उनका बेसिक काम होता है मछली पालन करना। मछुआरा नहीं है लेकिन बिहार में महतो समुदाय के लोग मछली पकड़ते हैं। हालांकि चीजें जी मछली पकड़ने वाला काम खत्म हो गया तो वो लोग बाहर जाने लगे, बाहर काम करने लगे। लेकिन ये बहुत अमीर समुदाय नहीं है जिसके पास ये खेत हो और इस तरीके से, उनको मजदूरी पे ही निर्भर करना रहना पड़ता है। तो इस तरीके से हम देखें तो लोगों की मौत हो रही है घर लौटते हुए। अभी भी आप देखें बरखा दत्त पशु जो अपने कितने लोग पैदल जा रहे हैं। तो एक दूसरी रिपोर्ट जो हम लोगों की आने वाली है मतलब न्यू लॉन्ड्री हिंदी पे, तो ये है कि लॉकडाउन 1 जब था तो ये बिहार के 9 मजदूर थे जो दिल्ली के इसका कैलाश में रहते थे, मजदूर नहीं थे, ऑटो चालक। तो ये लोग लॉकडाउन 1 के दौरान तो रह लिए लेकिन लॉकडाउन 2 के दौरान 15 तारीख की सुबह ये लोग ऑटो से बिहार के कटिहार जिला 1500 किलोमीटर है, 1400 किलोमीटर वहां के लिए ऑटो से गए
जी।
अभी वो क्वारंटाइन है। तो किस तरीके से रास्ते में वो लोग 3 दिन में पहुंचे हैं ऑटो से, एक बार खाना खाया उन लोगों ने। तो इस तरीके से अभी भी माइग्रेशन जारी है लेकिन सरकार, हमारा मीडिया, नेशनल मीडिया चुप है, वो साजिश देख रहा है इस मसले में। तो
आई थिंक सुप्रीम कोर्ट ने सेंटर को 1 हफ्ते का टाइम दिया है ये बताने के लिए कि माइग्रेंट वर्कर्स का क्या मतलब, व्हाट आर दे डूइंग अबाउट द प्रॉब्लम ऑफ माइग्रेंट वर्कर्स एंड हाउ आर दे गोइंग टू हेल्प देम। आई थिंक प्रशांत भूषण ने पिटीशन फाइल किया था।
सुप्रीम कोर्ट पे कमेंट तो हम नहीं कर सकते, हालांकि जो मेरी समझ है, लेकिन सुप्रीम कोर्ट वो कहते हैं ना कि प्राण चला जाए जब तब आप अस्पताल ले जाए इलाज कराने के लिए। जब तक लोग मतलब 1 महीना हो गया ना, लगभग 25 मार्च से शुरू हुआ था, 1 महीना हो गया माइग्रेशन के, माइग्रेशन अब भी जारी है। आप सूरत में देखो तो हर चौथे दिन लोग सड़कों पे आ रहे हैं लेकिन कोई, सुप्रीम कोर्ट अब 6 दिन का टाइम दिया है, 6 दिन बाद अगर वो जाके कहें कि हमें और टाइम चाहिए तब तक तो चीजें गुजर चुकी होंगी, आप सवाल का जवाब लेके क्या करेंगे जब सवाल ही नहीं रहेगा।
राइट, थैंक यू सो मच बसंत। आई थिंक दैट ब्रिंग्स अस टू द एंड ऑफ द पॉडकास्ट। वी शुड फिनिश विद सम रिकमेंडेशंस।
सो आई हैव अ रिकमेंडेशन, दिस एसे दैट वाज पब्लिश्ड इन द कोलंबिया जर्नलिज्म रिव्यू। It's by journalist Thanasis Kambanis, who covered the Iraq war for the Boston Globe. And he wrote about, you know, how during the war he was actually based, he started living in a hotel in Baghdad. And how he and other people from other journalists got together and tried to keep themselves sane within this, you know, whole, almost bombing of tragedies on a daily basis.
Right.
So it was a very good report. It's called Working from Hamra. Hamra is the hotel they lived in.
I see.
It was weirdly comforting also.
We'll read it.
Yeah.
Basant?
जी मैं चाहूंगा कि इस बार जो हम अतुल सर का वो टिप्पणी का शो है जो रेडियो रवांडा से भारतीय मीडिया की तुलना की गई है बहुत जरूरी है कि हमारे दर्शक समझे जाने कि किस तरीके से नफरत फैलाई जाती है और सोसाइटी को तोड़ने की कोशिश होती है तो वो जरूर देखें दूसरा मैं ये कहूंगा कि प्रियंका दुबे की एक रिपोर्ट है बीबीसी पे कैसे UAPA लगाकर लोगों को परेशान किया जा रहा है
जी
तो मुझे लगता है कि ये भी रिपोर्ट पढ़नी चाहिए और हमें देखना चाहिए कि लॉकडाउन में सब परेशान है लेकिन कुछ लोग इसका मिसयूज तो नहीं कहेंगे लेकिन कुछ लोग इसमें काफी एक्टिव हैं जैसे दिल्ली पुलिस लगातार गिरफ्तारियां हो रही है लगातार UAPA लग रहा है समझ नहीं आ रहा है कि हो क्या रहा है और उस पर कोई रिपोर्ट भी नहीं बहुत डिटेल कर पा रहा है तो UAPA का किस तरीके से मिसयूज हो रहा है और किस तरीके से यूज हो रहा है मिसयूज तो नहीं कहेंगे वो पढ़ने के लिए देखना चाहिए
श्योर ठीक है एंड हमीदा
सो देयर इज दिस सीरीज ऑन नेटफ्लिक्स व्हिच आई हैव जस्ट स्टार्टेड वाचिंग इट्स कॉल्ड द मिडनाइट गॉस्पेल
आई सी ओके
या सो बेसिकली देयर इज दिस पॉडकास्टर हु लिव्स इन द यूनिवर्स एंड ही गोज टू डिफरेंट सिमुलेशंस ऑफ द अर्थ एंड ही गोज एंड टॉक्स टू सर्टेन पीपल ओवर देयर एंड जनरली जस्ट इंटरव्यूज देम अबाउट लाइफ and the and certain perceptions that they have
right.
It's an animated series but it's really interesting
fascinating
yeah it's very nice so the first episode is about mindfulness and then they talk about how drugs can especially marijuana and all of that can actually help in increasing mindfulness so they delve into controversial topics but it's really really interesting
that's not a controversy yeah. at all that's a fact anyway
All right.
For some people, it might be controversial, na? Isile.
All right. My recommendation this week is this old movie by Stanley Kubrick called Full Metal Jacket. I don't know. Have any of you seen it?
Classic.
Nice. Huh?
It's a classic, man. I love it.
Yeah, it's such a brilliant movie, man. So I saw it again recently and I think that's my recommendation this week. And the best who's your favorite character Ayush
that is the this general of theirs I don't
know yeah the sergeant the drill instructor
the fucking bully
sergeant Hartman so apparently did you know that he was actually the person who played it he's actually a US marine drill instructor during the Vietnam war
damn no wonder
yeah and you remember so he's got the most brilliantly unique insults
yeah
okay and I think everybody should watch it and it's basically about how soldiers are brainwashed during military camp and you know during their training and how it affects their mental health and yeah I really love Hartman's unique insults so you should watch it Also, my second recommendation is the one that Basant also mentioned, the latest episode of News Laundry Tippany. Yeah, that's about it. And since we got the very sad news of actor Irfan Khan's death just today, I thought we all could discuss his life and his movies, since I think clearly all of us are big fans.
भरोसा नहीं हो रहा है. मतलब रात को ही 1:30-2 बजे करीब में किसी ने मैसेज किया मुझे कि इरफान खान नहीं है उनकी सूचना नहीं दी जा रही है बस कल सुबह तक सूचना दी जाएगी मैंने कहा यार बकवास मत करो रात सोने दो चुपचाप ऐसे मैं तो गुस्से में उसको बोल दिया सुबह सुबह नींद खुली और मैं ऐसे ही लैपटॉप ऑन किया खबर लिखने के लिए तब तक खबर देखा HT की खबर मतलब बिल्कुल बिल्कुल रोना आ गया मतलब मैं समझ ही नहीं पाया कि ऐसा क्यों हो रहा है इरफान खान से कॉलेज टाइम में जब हम लोग मैं आप लोग नहीं जानते होंगे हंसिएगा मत, मैंने FTI के लिए तैयारी की थी, फिल्म इंस्टीट्यूट ऑफ पुणे के लिए, हुआ नहीं। तो कॉलेज टाइम में हम इरफान खान की फिल्मों को देखते नहीं थे, पढ़ते थे कि क्या कर रहा है आदमी। तो उस तरीके से एक एक सीन याद आ रहा था कि कैसे उनका हासिल का वो सीन जब वो उनको बेंच पे गिरा गिरा के मार रहे होते हैं, वो कहते हैं कि मार दो अगर बच गया तो जिंदा नहीं छोड़ूंगा। उसके बाद हासिल, हासिल फिल्म का तो एक एक डायलॉग हमें याद कर रखा था। उसके बाद उनका सबसे पसंदीदा और सबसे मेरा फेवरेट डायलॉग है, जब भी मैं थोड़ा परेशान होता हूँ जरूर सुनता हूँ, दो डायलॉग है, हालांकि एक थोड़ा मस्ती वाला एक थोड़ा नॉर्मल है। वो रोग फिल्म का एक डायलॉग है, मैंने थोड़ा सा मैं सुनाना चाहूंगा।
जरूर।
मन ऊब गया है, वही शोर वही आवाजें, शिकायत नहीं है, अजीब सा एहसास है मन में, अजीब। जिस रोज नया दिन निकलता है, मैं वही पुराना, दुनिया वही पुरानी, वैसे ही चली जा रही है। मुझे लगा जो ये जिंदगी की गाड़ी चल रही है उसकी चेन मैं खींचता हूँ और उतर जाता हूँ। हालांकि इस फिल्म डायलॉग में आगे वो कहते हैं कि मेरे साथ ऐसा हुआ और मैंने ऐसा नहीं किया, लेकिन आज इरफान साहब 2 साल लगातार स्ट्रगल अपनी जिंदगी को बचाने के बाद चेन खींच दिए और चले गए। मतलब काफी, मतलब उस आदमी, उस एक्टर का भी बहुत कुछ आना बाकी था, बहुत कम आ पाया था।
जी, जी।
आप मकबूल देख लीजिए, पान सिंह तोमर देख लीजिए, आप उनकी, आप अभी आयुष हम लोग बात कर रहे थे कि जो हैदर में रोहदार की एंट्री है, मतलब सलमान खान की एंट्री पे लोग ताली बजाते हैं, लेकिन मैंने अपने पूरे अब तक के जीवन में 26 साल 27 साल के जीवन में सिनेमा हॉल में सीटी एक बार ही बजाई है जब रोहदार की एंट्री होती है। मतलब वो क्या, जब सफेद पूरा पीछे है बर्फबारी, वो ब्लर करके कैमरा से किया गया और आते हैं सॉल को फेंकते हैं ब्लैक चश्मा में, जो एंट्री शानदार है। मतलब चले तो गए इरफान साहब लेकिन जाएंगे नहीं, मतलब वो रहेंगे हम लोग।
He is the only one मतलब who has featured in two of Vishal Bhardwaj's Shakespeare
the trilogy.
Yeah, so I think in Haider he plays the ghost, right? He plays and his name is therefore Rudar. So that scene is also beautifully evocative of how cinema, you know, this is snow and it's all white and gray and there's mist and out walks this guy, you know, who just such a fucking enigmatic character. And the one scene I remember from that movie is when Haider's father and Irfan Rudar. They are being taken from one torture facility to another and they're being tortured. And at one point, his father asks him, you know, are you a Shia or a Sunni? And the dialogue he's, you know, the, he delivers there that, main hu Shia, main hu Sunni, Pandit bhi main. And that is, it's so piercing and it's so well done. And he, you know, once he said somewhere in an interview that in when you are in Hollywood, you're an actor is judged on the basis of the nuance in his acting. In India, you know, you just need an attitude as an actor, and even if you're superficial and you have the right attitude, that works. And I think Irfan, you know, he just had the right attitude. The way he would deliver things, it's a true hallmark of a brilliant artist. And I mean, besides all the movies, I think my one recommendation would be for people to go watch the satire he did with All India Bakchod back in the day called Every Party Song Ever.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
I
was in script when I saw it first time.
It's one of the funniest videos that AIB put out. And I just love it. I just love Irfan in that video and that video itself.
Right. Hamida?
Yeah, so Irfan Khan has always been like an actor I've looked up to a lot, especially in Bollywood cinema. And I've had so many favorites, but I think one of the movies which stood out to me the most was, I remember I skipped class once when I was in college, kyunki Madari nikli thi. So I was like, mujhe dekhni hai, I don't care, Irfan Khan hai. एंड हमारे कॉलेज के आस के पास एक 2D सिनेमा थिएटर था, बट आई वेंट एंड आई वॉच्ड इट इन 2D एंड आई रिमेम्बर इट वाज लाइक एट 9 AM इन द मॉर्निंग, देयर वाज नोबडी इन द थिएटर, देयर वाज जस्ट मी एंड वन ऑफ माय फ्रेंड्स, दैट्स इट, एंड वी वर वॉचिंग इट। एंड बाय द एंड ऑफ द सीन व्हेन ही बेसिकली गिव्स अ स्पीच, दैट वाज सो, आई स्टिल रिमेम्बर, गूज बम्प्स, एंड आई जस्ट स्टार्टेड क्राइंग, आई लव दैट गाय।
And
amazing.
I think my favorite, I think it's hard to pick a favorite with this movies, but I'd say Lunchbox.
वो भी बहुत खूबसूरत फिल्म है.
Quietly brilliant role that he played. And did you guys know it? Do you guys remember? I don't know how were you guys even born? Chandrakanta, anybody remembers?
No.
Yeah, so he was also in Chandrakanta. That was it was this old fantasy show on DD back in 90s, early 90s. So he, I think he had like a villain's role, but I don't remember exactly what his character was. But yeah, we've been seeing him around for so long, actually. And I don't know, personally, like, for a lot of people, this is, everybody's saying it feels like a personal loss, right? Why do you guys think?
Because I feel like he was the cool uncle who I never got to see a lot during family get-togethers. But every time he would come, he would do something which would just be amazing and so layered and so nuanced that it would give us lessons for years to come. So I've always felt like that with him. And I remember telling one of my friends when I got to know that he passed away, that this is exactly how I felt when Robin Williams committed suicide.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It's exactly the same. And I just
same kind of feeling.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Like a very dear old friend.
That's yeah, so I think it touched the right coordinates because, you know, all these actors, they disappoint you at some point or another, even through movies or through their personal behavior. But yeah, he was just consistent in never being controversial. And he was, you know, he never did anything that was just stupid or something foolish. And he was there in memorable movies. So a lot of memories that we have, you know, he's etched there. He just was there and he stayed there. My mom, you know, I'm not even the most heartbroken member in my family. My mom swooned over Irfan. And he was her evergreen, you know, true love. And I was out today in the morning. I had to go do some reporting I wanted to meet the police station. And I returned and she told me this. And, you know, her face, I could tell she had gone gray. I think he just was different and he was a very intelligent, sensitive individual and someone who's very good in an industry where a lot of people are not good, you know?
Yeah, actually, one of my friends, when I told him about his death, I think what he said was so apt, like him alone, Irfan Khan alone was worth more than three of the Khans put together.
Well, definitely two of them. Amir, I still love. But definitely the other two.
Yeah, that's true. All right. I think that brings us to the end of the podcast. And our producer also has a suggestion. Parikshit says everybody must watch Namesake as well. Irfan Khan's in that movie and it's based on the book by Jhumpa Lahiri. If you guys like this podcast, please rate it on iTunes or whatever platform you tune into. We also have a bunch of other podcasts like Awful and Awesome and News Laundry Hafta. Better the rating, more the reach. And that means more subscribers. And that in turn means better content for you.
अगर आपको ये पॉडकास्ट पसंद आए तो अपने दोस्तों रिश्तेदारों में साझा करिए, अपने सोशल मीडिया पे साझा करिए ताकि हम ज्यादा से ज्यादा लोगों तक पहुंच पाए. ईमानदारी पूर्वक किया हुआ काम ज्यादा से ज्यादा लोगों तक पहुंच सके.
And please write to us at contact@newslaundry.com. We're very eager to hear your feedback. And also don't forget to write to us about what you think of the whole Arnab Goswami situation. And you can also leave your comments on Twitter. And with that, this podcast is adjourned.
All the News Laundry podcasts are available on Stitcher, iTunes, and any other podcast platform.
Please subscribe to News Laundry. Help us keep news independent. Catch all our podcasts on news, pop culture, current affairs and sport. Visit newslaundry.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. And subscribe to our YouTube channel.